The views expressed on this program are not necessarily the views of this station. Content is for educational purposes only. Consult a financial advisor or conduct your own due diligence if investing. Calls are pre-screened and the show was pre-recorded earlier this week. Rick is with Edelman Financial Engines, a part of Financial Engines Advisors, LLC, and the investment advisor that furnishes this program. Barron's has ranked Edelman Financial Services as the number one independent advisory firm in the nation based on assets managed, team size, experience, and regulatory record. Firms self-nominate. Investor returns and experience are not considered. Edelman combined with Financial Engines Advisors in November 2018.
This is the Rick Edelman Show. Edelman Financial Engines is the number one ranked investment advisor in the country by Barron's. Now, here's Rick Edelman.
And a very happy summertime weekend to you. Welcome to the Rick Edelman Show. Nothing makes me happier or more confident in life than blank. How would you fill in the blank? What makes you happiest, most confident in life? According to a recent survey by a big financial services company, 92% of those surveyed, pretty much everybody said, nothing makes me happier or more confident in life than having my financial house in order.
Well, there's something you don't see every day.
I have a feeling there was a little bit of context in that survey, because I'm not sure that the average ordinary citizen would say, out of the blue, nothing makes me happier than having my financial house in order. At least I would hope you would refer to your dog before that, and certainly, okay, fine, let's get real, your spouse before, anyway, you get my point. Okay, let's assume that within the financial context, you would agree that nothing makes you happier or more confident than having your financial house in order. Good for you. Glad to hear it. Makes perfect sense. How then can you explain that only one-third of American adults have a financial advisor? And yet those who do... Before I tell you about those who do, let me ask you this question. Do you have a financial advisor? Because the reason I ask, according to this survey, those who have a financial advisor say they're more likely to say that they're happy and confident and have stability in their financial and their personal lives. They're more likely to say that than those who don't have an advisor. 66% of consumers who have a financial advisor, 2 out of 3 who have a financial advisor, feel financially secure, twice as many as those who don't have an advisor. 85%, almost everybody, says their personal life is headed in the right direction, outpacing those who don't have an advisor. And 70% say they're happy with their life. Only half of those who handle money on their own are able to say the same thing. People who work with a financial advisor, according to this survey, are more likely to know how to balance their spending and saving. They're more likely to set goals and feel confident that they'll achieve them. And they are more likely to have a plan to weather economic ups and downs. So if you don't have a financial advisor, you could be missing out on the thing that makes you happiest and most confident in life. Of course, I am a financial advisor telling you all of this. So let me ask you this. Where do you get your investment and financial advice? Where do you get advice specifically for a 401k? You have a retirement plan at work? Good for you. Where do you get advice on how you should be handling your 401k at work? An academic research study was just completed on this, and what they discovered is that people tend to get advice about their workplace retirement plan from the person at work they believe is the smartest, most skilled person. They discovered that employees working in a restaurant have the attitude that the smartest person in the restaurant is the sushi chef. And that's who they turn to with their questions about 401ks.
You must be joking.
Employees at a grocery store believe that the butcher is the most skilled person in the store. And that's who they ask when they have questions about their 401k.
You can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious.
They don't ask award-winning financial planners for help. So this is a little frustrating to me. The researchers discovered that workers who seek money advice turn to the colleague they perceive as the most skilled, even if the skill has nothing to do with money. And that's the problem. So I put the question to you. For your 401k, for your 403b, for your thrift savings plan, for your 457 plan, who at work did you turn to for help? Do you know that a lot of employers provide financial experts for help? That's the work we do at Edelman Financial Engines. We're the largest independent provider of advice to 401k plans in the country. Employers hire us to do this so that they're giving access to their workers to the professional, experienced advice that we offer. Are you taking advantage of it? I hope so. By the way, when you do take advantage of the advice of a financial advisor, I want to share with you a couple of shocking statistics and studies and a piece of news that just came out, all of it related. If you are going to hire a financial advisor, who is it you're going to hire? According to Tiburon, there are 26,000 registered investment advisors in the country. We here at Edelman Financial Engines happens to be the biggest independent RIA in the country. There are 26,000 of us. They range from us, the very biggest in the business, to very tiny mom and pop shops, actually just moms or just pops, solo practitioners who manage money for just a small number of clients. Here's how the assets shake out. When you look at all the money that's being managed by all of the investment advisors around the country, there are 26,000 of us. 687 of the 26,000, we're managing half of all the assets. So think about that. Of the 26,000 advisors in the country, 687 of us are managing half of it, meaning the other 25,000 advisors are managing the rest. In other words, most financial advisors out there are managing very small amounts of money. Why do you care? Why does this matter? Why did I mention it? Because of a new study that has just come out from Harvard Business School. Harvard Business School just revealed that smaller advisors are 1.5 times more likely to declare bankruptcy after a customer wins a complaint. Now, I know when you're hiring a financial advisor, it never occurs to you that one day your relationship might go south, that one day you may discover that your advisor isn't all that you thought they were, that they aren't as skilled, they aren't as talented. Maybe, in fact, they're outright crooks, and you are compelled to file a lawsuit against them or seek an arbitration claim against them. And if you win that case, how likely is it that the advisor you have successfully sued has the money to pay you off? You see, if this advisor is managing 10 or 20 million bucks, 30 million bucks, 50 million bucks, 100 million bucks, how much money is the advisor really earning after they collect their fee and pay all of their bills? Are they going to be able to pay you off? According to Harvard, smaller advisors are 3 times more likely to have an unpaid judgment or lien show up on their own records. You see, you have to understand this, because the investment advisory community has grown by a third over the last 10 years. And you've got to ask yourself, if something goes wrong, how am I going to get restitution? Because when you deal with a small independent advisor, you know, it's one thing. What happens if he's on vacation? Who do I call? What if he's out sick? What if, heaven forbid, he's hit by a bus? What happens to me and my account? You've got to add another piece to this. What happens if I end up having to file a complaint against this person? What's the likelihood? Think about it when you're choosing your financial advisor. I mean, this whole thing is rather sad and annoying to talk about, and there are so many folks who are already fearful, skeptical, worrisome about hiring a financial advisor. I mean, I get it. It's your life savings. I mean, you've worked hard to accumulate the money you've got, and now to rely on the advice of someone who you may not yet know very well, I get it. So I don't mean to raise a too much of a fire alarm here. What I'm trying to simply suggest is that when making any financial decision, whether it's choosing investments or choosing the investment advisor, it's really important that you think through all of the contingencies, all of the possibilities. Don't just look at the upside of what happens if things go well, but also the downsides. What happens if things don't go so well? I'm Rick Edelman, 888-PLAN-RICK, online at ricedelman.com.
More with the publisher of the newsletter, Inside Personal Finance, coming up on The Rick Edelman Show.
Are you an overthinker? Hi, Rick Edelman here, host of The Rick Edelman Show right here every weekend. In 3 decades of serving folks like you here at Edelman Financial Engines, we've met a lot of folks who were trapped because they were overthinking their financial decisions. We get it. This can be scary stuff. You work really hard, and you make a lot of sacrifices to save all your money. And, well, just imagine if you make a mistake. Bad investment choices, the wrong mortgage, incorrect insurance coverage, it's enough to keep anyone awake at night. So here are 2 pieces of advice to help you solve the problem. First, realize that most decisions can be changed. And second, it's not just you, it's we. You don't have to go it alone. Let us help you. You'll get our experience and our expertise. So call us at Edelman Financial Engines. It's one decision you don't have to overthink. Call us at 888-PLAN-RICK. That's 888-PLAN-RICK. Or visit us at rickedelman.com. That's ricedelman.com.
Patti LaBelle, live. Patti LaBelle, with special guest, the Pointer Sisters. I'm so excited. September 8th, Tulalip Amphitheater.
With summer and seafare in full swing, boaters are enjoying the warm weather. The waterways are busy, so do your part to keep them safe for everyone. Did you know alcohol use is the leading contributing factor in 17% of boating fatalities in Washington State? Don't be a danger to your friends and family or other people on the water. Plan ahead and keep your passengers safe by having a sober skipper drive the boat. Bring water and other non-alcoholic drinks to keep everyone on the boat hydrated. This message is brought to you by Davis Law Group and MAD.
Puyallup Mazda would like to let you know great things about Mazda cars and SUVs you probably don't. According to the critics, they're better than higher-priced offerings from other manufacturers. Do your research, then come see us at Puyallup Mazda and take home a smile.
Welcome back to the Rick Edelman Show. A couple of follow-ups of stories we've been doing over the past several years and all the way up until last week here on the program. First of all, you might be familiar with a guy in Long Island by the name of David Lerner. David Lerner Associates, once known in New York City for their radio ads with the tagline, "Take a Tip from Poppy." David Lerner Associates was very well known in the New York City marketplace because they were touting non-traded REITs. The company's still in business. However, it just told the SEC that it has a negative net worth of $17 million. There are reports that David Lerner personally has lent his firm $21 million in order for the firm to remain in federal regulatory compliance. 10 years ago, Lerner used to sell a product called Apple REITs. REITs meaning real estate investment trusts. These are non-traded real estate investments that got a lot of attack by some folks because of the sales practices involved. Lerner was also selling their own proprietary mutual funds. Back in 2011, according to the reports, those investments represented 92% of David Lerner's revenue. Now it's down to 38%, which suggests that people ain't buying what he's selling to the degree that they used to. Might be because FINRA fined David Lerner Associates $3.7 million for overcharging customers who bought municipal bonds and other investments from the firm. FINRA also ordered Lerner to give back $12 million to clients who bought the Apple REIT number 10. Yeah, there's the latest about David Lerner Associates, a negative net worth of $17 million. Last week, a little more recently on the program, I had a phone call with a gentleman who had talked about the idea of taking his life savings of $1.7 million, almost all of it in retirement accounts, and dumping it into an insurance policy called an indexed universal life policy. Well, we talked at length with him on the show last week. You might recall, you can download the podcast at rickedelman.com if you missed it, of why I told him not to do that. Well, now, in the weeks since that telephone call, the National Association of Insurance Commissioners has expressed concern about the sales practices regarding these very insurance policies, indexed universal life. The NAIC, this is the National Association of State Insurance Regulators, they say that the insurance industry is playing games with an actuarial guideline issued by the NAIC that was meant to end unrealistically high projections for cash accumulation. And so now what's happening, because they're doing a dodge around the regulation, they're making these policies look even better, and in the course of doing so, they're making them even more unrealistic. So let me just illustrate for you what I'm talking about here and why I am so upset about the idea of you investing in an indexed universal life policy. First of all, it's an oxymoron. You don't invest in insurance. Insurance isn't an investment. Insurance is meant to protect you and your family if there's a death. It's not meant to grow assets for investment purposes, and these policies do a very poor job of accomplishing that. But here's the deal. Here's the sales pitch, first of all. They say to you, look, if the market goes up, your account value will go up. If the market loses money, you won't lose money. We guarantee that your loss will be zero. Wow, doesn't that sound good? The market goes up, you win. The market goes down, you win. I mean, that sounds like a great sales pitch. And then they make the sales pitch even better. They say, look, if you pay a fee of just 1% more than you're already paying, we will take your annual profits and give you a bonus of 56%. You pay 1% and you get a 56% bonus. Wow, doesn't that sound fabulous? Yeah, it really does. But you know what? It's nothing but a sales pitch. Let me explain to you. You see, when they tell you that if the market goes up, so does your account value, well, that's not the whole truth and nothing but the truth. Here's the whole truth. When the market goes up, your account value will go up as well, up to a cap, typically 6%, which means if the market goes up 5, your account goes up 5. If the market goes up 6, you go up 6. But if the market goes up 10, you still only go up 6. See the point? There's a cap. And what about that bonus? Wow. A 56% bonus. In other words, you get 56% of the 6%. That's equal to 3.36. In other words, if the market goes up 10, you would go up 9.36. Does that make sense? Well, here's the problem. When you look at the actual performance of the stock market since 1926, guess what? The stock market lost money 25 of those years. That's about 27% of the time. But you know what? It went up more than 6, 57 times, 61%. In other words, they're protecting you from losses that don't happen as much while preventing you from enjoying all of the gains that do happen. Let me simplify it for you. Let me make it real clear. Here's the bottom line. Let's say that you bought back in 1926 one of these indexed universal life policies that guaranteed you would never lose money in any given year, but put a cap of 6% on the profits of any given year. If you invested $100 back in 1926 in that way, do you know what your profit would be by now? $4,200. Well, that's not bad. $100 becomes $4,200. But wait a minute. That's just with a straight index universal life policy. Now, let's add this 56% bonus program. Now, instead of ending up with $4,200, you end up with nearly $13,000 because of the bonus. It actually increases your profits. All you do is pay an extra 1% per year, and you've tripled the results of the policy. That strikes me as a pretty good deal, doesn't it, you? I mean, instead of making $4,200, you're making $13,000. But wait a minute. If you had just invested back in 1926 into the stock market itself, represented by the S&P 500, even though the S&P lost money 27% of the time, 1 out of 4 years, the market went down, and you suffered losses in those years, your $100 today wouldn't be $4,200. It wouldn't be $13,000. It would be $700,000.
Oh, come on!
That's the difference. So sure, you like the idea of these index universal life policies? You're choosing between $4,000 and $13,000 and giving away $700,000. That's what would have happened over the past 100 years. Now, of course, I can't predict the future. I can't say the past performance is guaranteed of any future results. We all know that. But seriously? So if somebody's pitching to you an indexed universal life policy or an equity indexed annuity contract, you need to run, not walk, to the nearest exit. All right, I want to give you a piece of advice that is incredibly tangible, incredibly practical for you over the course of your career. Are you ready? This might be some of the most practical aspects of advice I've ever given. And I don't think I've ever said this in the nearly 30 years I've been doing this radio show. I don't know why it never occurred to me, but I'm going to give it to you right here, right now. This is a big deal. How much of your paycheck are you saving in your 401k? I'm willing to bet that you are probably saving 5% or 10% of your pay. And do you know why? Because researchers have concluded that humans think in round numbers. You're probably saving 5% or 10% because that's simply what we do. I'm willing to bet that you're saving 10% of pay simply because it's a nice round number. And I'll take it a step further. If you are saving 10% of your pay, which you chose because it's a nice round number, I'm willing to bet you can afford to save 11. But you're not saving 11 because 11 is a weird number. 10 makes more sense. So what I want you to do is increase your 401k savings to 11%. And you'll end up saving 10% more wealth in retirement. I'm Rick Edelman. You're listening to The Truth About Money. 888-PLAN-RICK. Online at ricedelman.com.
For a wealth of information on personal finance, go to the education page at ricedelman.com.
Are you an overthinker? Hi, Rick Edelman here, host of the Rick Edelman Show right here every weekend. In 3 decades of serving folks like you here at Edelman Financial Engines, we've met a lot of folks who were trapped because they were overthinking their financial decisions. We get it. This can be scary stuff. You work really hard and you make a lot of sacrifices to save all your money. And well, just imagine if you make a mistake. Bad investment choices, the wrong mortgage, incorrect insurance coverage. It's enough to keep anyone awake at night. So here are 2 pieces of advice to help you solve the problem. First, realize that most decisions can be changed. And second, it's not just you, it's we. You don't have to go it alone. Let us help you. You'll get our experience and our expertise. So call us at Edelman Financial Engines. It's one decision you don't have to overthink. Call us at 888-PLAN-RICK. That's 888-PLAN-RICK. Or visit us at rickedelman.com. That's ricedelman.com. Are you an overthinker? Hi, Rick Edelman here, host of the Rick Edelman Show right here every weekend. In 3 decades of serving folks like you here at Edelman Financial Engines, we've met a lot of folks who were trapped because they were overthinking their financial decisions. We get it. This can be scary stuff. You work really hard and you make a lot of sacrifices to save all your money. And well, just imagine if you make a mistake. Bad investment choices, the wrong mortgage, incorrect insurance coverage. It's enough to keep anyone awake at night. So here are 2 pieces of advice to help you solve the problem. First, realize that most decisions can be changed. And second, it's not just you, it's we. You don't have to go it alone. Let us help you. You'll get our experience and our expertise. So call us at Edelman Financial Engines. It's one decision you don't have to overthink. Call us at 888-PLAN-RICK. That's 888-PLAN-RICK. Or visit us at rickedelman.com. That's ricedelman.com.
We've been told by journalists and critics there are great things about Mazda cars and SUVs we should have told you. We apologize. So this message from Puyallup Mazda. In reality, the Mazda CX-5 SUV and Mazda 3s, according to those journalists, are better than higher-priced offerings from other manufacturers. The way they drive, the interiors, the way they look. We invite you to research before you decide. Then come see us. Puyallup Mazda and PuyallupMazda.com. And take home a smile.
Welcome back to the program. Rick Edelman here at 888-PLAN-RICK. That's 888-752-6742. Online at ricedelman.com. Here on the program, we talk about Social Security, retirement security, the need for you to pay attention to that, and the challenges we're facing, not just individually in our efforts to accomplish this, but also the challenges we face together as a nation. Pretty much every working American is going to receive Social Security benefits if you aren't already, and most retirees report that they get most of their income from Social Security. So it's an important element, and it's important to understand that it's going to be here in the future. Or is it? So I figured we'll go right to the source. I'm happy to welcome onto the program Stephen Goss. He is the Chief Actuary of the Social Security Administration. Steve, thanks so much for joining us on the program.
A pleasure. Thanks for having me, Rick.
Steve, you've been with the agency since 1973. You've been the chief actuary since 2001. So safe to say that you have a long, storied history with the Social Security Administration.
Definitely have been here for much of the happenings that are affecting the program today.
The status of the Social Security Trust Fund is better than it has been reported in several years by the Social Security Administration itself and its Board of Trustees. But we're not totally out of the woods yet. We are still projected to begin withdrawing from the Trust Fund starting next year, correct?
That's correct, Rick. Every dollar of taxes that anybody is paying in from day to day goes directly into the trust funds and is invested, and then all benefits that are paid are paid for by drawing out from the trust funds. The trustees issued the annual Social Security Trustees Report on April 22 of this year. They have come out every single year reporting to the Congress on the actual status of the program since 1941. What you're referring to is in 2020, for the first year since, I believe, 1982, we will start drawing more out of the trust funds than we're putting in. So the dollar level of our trust fund reserves will start to go down.
So we're taking more money out than we're putting in starting in 2020. If that trend persists, how long will it be before the trust fund is depleted?
If that trend persists, then by 2035, we would use up those reserves by 2035, at which point we would still have 80 cents of tax revenue coming in for every dollar of scheduled benefits.
Which means so that benefits would be reduced by 20% starting in 2035.
That is, if Congress does not act in any way between now and then. And the really good news on this, Rick, is that we have actually approached times like this many times before for one or the other of our trust funds. Congress realizing what a devastating issue that would be for Americans receiving benefits, of which we, by the way, have 64 million Americans receiving benefits from this program. If we were to have a sudden, in this case, 20% drop in the monthly benefits, that would be quite devastating. Congress, well understanding this, has never allowed that to happen. In the 84-year history of the program, we have never, ever reached a point where monthly benefits that are scheduled have failed to be paid in full and on a timely basis.
However, we have never really experienced in the history of the Social Security Trust Fund or the Social Security system itself a political climate like we have today. And we have essentially two broad choices, and there are lots of details within those choices, but to some degree you either reduce benefits or you delay benefits, or on the other hand you raise taxes. And Those are two very politically charged ideas. Are you confident that we have the political wherewithal to resolve these issues, given the levers available for us to pull, to be able to resolve the crisis before it arrives in 2035?
Well, Rick, being only an actuary and not a politician, I couldn't really, you know, speak to what the political probabilities are. However, we can look to history. And every time we've ever reached a point where we looked like we might reach some point of financial distress, the Congress has always stepped up. And I think we attribute that to the notion that there are really no party lines in terms of people supporting Social Security. People all across our whole country, 95% of people who are workers contribute to Social Security. At least 95% of people can expect to receive benefits. So there appears to be an absolute bipartisan support for maintaining Social Security. You're exactly right, though, in pointing out that we do have options. The Congress will have options as we approach 2035, either to lower the level of scheduled benefits to, in effect, work within the level of revenue now scheduled, the 12.4% tax rate, or to raise the level of revenue in one fashion or another. And this will be the dynamic that the Congress will be working on. I would suggest that we should have extreme confidence that a compromise will be worked out with some combination of those two approaches, and Social Security will persist indefinitely.
And if you are correct, that means we can anticipate into the future some form of either benefit cut or benefit delay for some portion of the American workforce, and some form of tax increase for some portion of the American workforce. Yes?
That would be exactly correct. And there's an incredible variety of options for doing that. If, for example, the Congress wanted to lower the level of scheduled benefits, it could do it selectively just for the highest income folks. It could do it selectively more for retirees than for disabled workers. There are many, many options that are available and that have already been explored by Congress.
The disability data, that fewer Americans are filing claims for disability, that can't be ascribed to employment, but I imagine can be ascribed to advances in health care. Americans are healthier than ever before. That strikes me as pretty much the only reason why your claims would be down, no?
Well, we believe there's a significant component of that. There's no question that since the peak of the recession, the increased employment opportunities, increased employment have really helped in bringing down disability claims. But you're right, with more and more Americans having access to health insurance and having access to primary care, we believe that has really helped people out. In addition, there are several other items that have been mentioned. One of the most important is probably the changing nature of work in our economy. We obviously have fewer people working in high-stress physical labor jobs, and we also have more people in what people sometimes refer to as the gig economy. We have more things like telework available. So we believe that these are probably contributing towards more people not perceiving themselves as being disabled, even should they perhaps suffer some level of a medically determinable impairment.
We're talking with Steve Goss. He's the chief actuary of the Social Security Administration here on The Rick Edelman Show. I want to take the opportunity, since I've got you, Steve, the guy, to help dispel a myth that I, for some reason, seems to never go away, and I suspect it probably drives you a little crazy as well. Some people allege that there really is no money in the Social Security trust funds, that it's all an accounting gimmick, that the money has long been spent by Congress and there is no money any there. What's your response to that?
Well, you know, one thing we sometimes say is that something is real if it has consequence. And the trust fund reserves clearly have consequence, because if you look historically, it is when we approach the point of trust fund reserve depletion that Congress has to and always has acted. But even more important that, from the point of view of finance, which is your specialty, Rick, the trust funds are required by law to invest every dollar revenue that comes in every day in, and I'll get the hopefully the language exactly right here, interest-bearing securities backed by the full faith and credit of the U.S. government. Now, that's important, because is there any more secure investment that can be made? I think most people agree that that's where you want to be if you want a secure investment. So all the money has always been invested. We now have $2.9 trillion of combined reserves for Social Security, that's almost three times the annual outgo of the program, the annual cost of benefits. Those monies, backed by the full faith and credit government, have always been honored when they have been needed for paying benefits, and we should have every expectation that will continue to be the case. So the money is real in the trust fund. There's really no question about that.
Thank you for clarifying that. I really appreciate it. Where, Steve, can our listeners go to find out more about Social Security?
Well, we have a website here at Social Security, www.ssa.gov. There are many things you can find there. In particular, if people want to know a lot more about their personal earnings histories and their options for benefits, they can sign up for My Social Security and have a treasure trove of information available about themselves and their possibilities. In addition, I would hope you and others might visit ssa.gov/OACT and find all the information that our Office of the Actuary publishes about proposals that have been put forth by Congress that will be used in the future in some form or another to maintain the absolute certainty of the solvency of the Social Security program throughout the lives of everybody on the call.
Then thank you for joining me on the program today. That's Stephen Goss, the Chief Actuary of the Social Security Administration. Thanks, Steve.
Thank you, Rick.
There's a lot more to learn and know about the Social Security system, and you can get all that information at the Social Security website, ssa.gov. And you can learn about our Coalition to Improve Retirement Security. It's fundingourfuture.us. I'm Rick Edelman. You're listening to The Truth About Money.
The author of the New York Times bestseller, The Truth About Your Future, coming up on The Rick Edelman Show.
Are you an overthinker? Hi, Rick Edelman here, host of The Rick Edelman Show right here every weekend. In three decades of serving folks like you here at Edelman Financial Engines, we've met a lot of folks who were trapped because they were overthinking their financial decisions. We get it. This can be scary stuff. You work really hard, and you make a lot of sacrifices to save all your money. And, well, just imagine if you make a mistake. Bad investment choices, the wrong mortgage, incorrect insurance coverage. It's enough to keep anyone awake at night. So here are two pieces of advice to help you solve the problem. First, realize that most decisions can be changed. And second, it's not just you, it's we. You don't have to go it alone. Let us help you. You'll get our experience and our expertise. So call us at Edelman Financial Engines. It's one decision you don't have to overthink. Call us at 888-PLAN-RICK. That's 888-PLAN-RICK. Or visit us at rickedelman.com. That's ricedelman.com.
Batteries Plus Bulbs offers free car battery testing, free installation, plus you never need an appointment. Awesome service and only the highest quality batteries. Save $10 this month on Duracell Ultra Car Batteries. 10 easy locations from Olympia to Everett and now open in Arlington. BatteriesPlus.com.
Air Supply brings it all together again. Saturday, September 21st, 8 p.m., Tulalip Resort Casino.
The Summer Doorbuster event at Car Toys is just about over.
It's our biggest sale of the year.
Doorbuster!
Add Pioneer Apple CarPlay and DVD for just $239. Save $110.
Buy one Kenwood subwoofer and get one free.
All marine products on sale. Boat speakers half price, $49.
Pioneer DVD car stereo, just $99.
That's half price. Over $16 million. The best brands.
Pioneer, Kenwood, Alpine, Sony, JL Audio, Kicker, Focal.
Speakers from $19. Backup cameras and dash cameras from $19. Add remote start for $149. Including installation by Car Toys experts.
Don't miss the best deals ever at Car Toys' biggest sale of the year.
Car Toys, a better way to go.
Here's a new doorbuster for this week. The amazing Focal speakers are just $74, half price.
Doorbuster.
Welcome back to the Rick Edelman Show. 888-PLAN-RICK is our phone number here at Edelman Financial Engines. My colleagues and I are happy to help you deal with any issue you're facing involving a dollar sign, investments, taxes, insurance, college planning, retirement planning, buying houses, leasing cars, getting out of debt. I recently did something really, really really dumb. I was trying to make a point here on the show about a month or so ago, and to illustrate my point, I made an elephant joke. And it's my favorite elephant joke, I have to say. Why was the elephant sitting on the marshmallow? Because he didn't want to fall in the cocoa. That is, without a doubt, the best elephant joke there is. And then I did something even dumber. I published in our newsletter, Inside Personal Finance, a whole bunch of elephant jokes because I was, again, trying to make a unrelated point. And so I published like a full page worth of elephant jokes in our client newsletter. And, yeah, that was a dumb thing to do because, you guessed it, we have now been getting inundated with emails from our clients giving me their own favorite elephant jokes. How many elephants fit in a Ferrari? Two in the front, three in the back. Which is the fastest animal in the jungle? The one driving the Ferrari. What is gray and turns red? A blushing elephant. What is blue with big ears? An elephant in the North Pole. How come elephants don't like computers? Because they're afraid of the mouse. So, yeah, it was a dumb thing to do, pretending that I had the best elephant joke. So, yes, you're welcome to send me your elephant jokes. Send them to AskRick@RickEdelman.com. I published a whole bunch of them in our client newsletter, Inside Personal Finance, and, yeah, I'll publish a bunch more. By the way, is it possible, changing gears, that you might outlive your money during retirement? Join us for one of our free live events. You'll learn about Social Security, estate planning, and investing for retirement. We're doing these in Cleveland, Portland, Melbourne, Dallas, the full live event schedule available at our website, rickedelman.com. Let's head off to Milwaukee. Phil's on the line. How you doing, Phil? Welcome to the show.
I'm doing fine, Rick.
How can I help you?
Okay, this has to do with the RMD, the required minimum distribution.
Okay.
I have two accounts. One account, I get a monthly payment, and the other account, I really don't want to touch at all. And they're both worth about, you know, $85,000, $90,000 each. Anyway, I get a form, 5498 from one of them, and then I called the other one that's been giving me a monthly payment, and they say they don't have to send me a form anymore. So when I figure this out for tax purposes, I still combine both amounts that are left in each of the accounts?
Yes.
Okay.
That's not what you wanted to hear, is it?
No, it isn't, but I'll take that as an answer because on that form that I got from one of them, it says if checked, required minimum distribution.
So let me make life simple for you. When you have retirement accounts, and I don't care what kind they are, whether they're 401k, 403b, thrift savings plan, IRA, when you have any of these kinds of retirement accounts, you have to make minimum distributions after the age of 70 and a half. Now, that first year, you can actually delay, in many cases, to 72. I won't bother going there for the moment. But once you're in your 70s, on an annual basis, you have to make a withdrawal from each of the accounts. Depending on what those accounts are, you might be able to make a single withdrawal from one of them on behalf of all of them. It varies depending on the kind of accounts you've got. And you've got to make a withdrawal based on the total value of all of the accounts as of the prior December 31. So whether or not one of the custodians of those accounts, whether or not one of those institutions is sending you a form or paperwork or IRS notices is irrelevant. It doesn't alleviate you of your obligation to pay the taxes that are due. Now, it's possible, since you said that one of them is already sending you money on a monthly basis, that money counts.
Correct.
That counts toward the RMD. So if they are sending you money monthly in the first place, that just reduces the amount you then have to withdraw, at least for that account's value. So the best advice I can give you is to work closely with a professional tax preparer, someone who is well-skilled with retirement accounts, required minimum distribution rules, because the rules can be tricky, they can be complicated, and if you mess up, there's a very stiff IRS penalty. 50% of what you should have taken but failed to take is what you'll pay in penalties in addition to the taxes. So you do want to make sure you get it right. But the short answer for you is, Phil, yes, you do need to make sure you're taking minimum distributions on an annual basis from the sum total of all of your retirement accounts, and depending on which accounts you've got, you might have to take money from each certain account as opposed to aggregating it from one single account. Okay?
Okay. So clarify that last statement. I didn't quite follow you on that last part that you just stated.
All right. Let's say that you have 100 grand in an IRA and 100 grand in a 401k, total of 200 grand, and you calculate your RMD, and you say to yourself, why should I bother taking half the money from each of the two accounts? Why don't I just take all of it from my IRA? This way, it's simpler and easier. Well, you're right. It is simpler and easier to take one check from one of the accounts. The problem is the IRS doesn't allow that. If you have a 401k, you must take your RMD from the 401k based on the value of the 401k. You can't take from the IRA the money that is representative of the 401k requirement. So that's an example that even though you took the proper amount, you didn't take it from the proper place, and the IRS will penalize you anyway.
So if, for example, what I have now, I have taken out $6,500 from one account.
Okay.
The other account, I could get by with just taking out $1,000.
Okay.
Is that doable or not?
It depends. It depends on what that second account's balance is and what the RMD requirement from that balance would be and whether or not that account is permitted to allow you to take the money from a different account on behalf of that account. You see my point, how complicated this is?
This is complicated. They're making this very complicated.
And for no practical purpose. The IRS should theoretically only care that it's getting the proper amount. The fact that it's getting it from one account as opposed to another account shouldn't make any difference. And the fact that it does make a difference is absurd. It's the Congress wrote these rules in a ridiculous way, unnecessarily complicated. It's almost like they're trying to trap you, trick you into doing it wrong so that they can collect a 50% penalty. It's obscene, it's ridiculous, it's absurd, and I've been arguing for years to have Congress simplify the rules to make it easier for ordinary folks like you and me to be compliant with the law. Because you want to be compliant, you're trying to be compliant, and despite your best efforts to be compliant, they trick you because of the way that they design the rules. It's crazy. So, and that's why I say to you that since the rules are as complicated as they are, delegate the task to a professional. This way, you don't have to worry about it. They'll do it. And best of all, if they make a mistake, they owe them the liability, not you. So if there is a 50% penalty, they'll pay it instead of you.
Okay, that wasn't the answer I was hoping you were going to give.
Well, that, when it comes to taxes, that's usually the case.
Thanks a lot. Yeah. Okay, well, thanks a lot, Rick. I enjoy talking with you.
Well, thank you very much, Phil. Even though it wasn't what you wanted to hear, at least the conversation was fun. If you've got questions and problems about your IRAs and retirement accounts and trying to figure out if you are required to make minimum distributions and how much and when and from which account, hey, folks, as they say often on TV, don't try this at home. Turn to a professional. We can help you. 888-PLAN-RICK. If we can't do the calc for you or clarify it sufficiently, we can certainly refer you to a professional tax advisor. We recommend tax preparers for our clients all the time. Happy to do it for you, too. So call us at 888-PLAN-RICK. We've got the expertise and the experience, the knowledge that we can share with you to help make your financial future everything you want it to be. 888-PLAN-RICK online at ricedelman.com. I'm Rick Edelman. It's been a pleasure being with you. That's a wrap.
As a reward, you'll have no radio for the rest of the week. Go to your room.
See you next week.
Get the truth about money every weekend on The Rick Edelman Show.